Hello, welcome to our program on careers. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. I would like to begin today with an article which appeared in the Wall Street Journal on the 2nd of November. The title of the article is Hurricanes and Strikes Choke Job Growth. The article was written for the journal by Justin Lehart. Job growth slowed sharply last month with workers sidelined by hurricane effects and the Boeing strike in a report just days before an election largely shaped by voters' feelings about the economy. The Labor Department on Friday reported that the United States economy added a seasonally adjusted 12,000 jobs in October versus a September gain of about 223,000. That widely missed even the muted expectations of economists who had forecast 100,000. Still, the unemployment rate stayed steady at a historically low 4.1%, in line with economists' expectations. Hurricanes Helene and Milton put thousands of people out of work across the southeast, while the Boeing strike took more people off the job. Economists generally recognized that the bulk of October's downdraft was temporary and did not affect larger dynamics of the market. Wages, for example, continued to rise. Reports of the effects of the storms and the strike on the stock market and on hiring so close to the election were not expected to be good for Vice President Kamala Harris's presidential bid. And former President Donald Trump wasted no time in seizing on the low monthly payrolls numbers, although it came after the United States had added about 2.2 million jobs over the past year. This jobs report was a catastrophe and definitely revealed how badly Kamala Harris broke our economy, the Trump's campaign said. The Council of Economic Advisers, which advises the White House on economic policy, pointed to the still low unemployment rate. When the signal gets jammed, look to the trend, the CEA said. Over the last several months, the general pace of job growth appeared to be slowing. Then the September report, released a month ago, blew past expectations. Economists now were trying to figure out which is the one-off and which is the trend. The noise in Friday's report made it difficult to interpret. Economist Brian Bethune of Boston College estimated that without the effects of the fall hurricanes, the Boeing strike, and further adjustments, the October job recreation figure would have been 130,000 instead of the 12,000 the government reported. For its jobs figures, the Labor Department surveys U.S. employers on how many people they had on their payrolls during the pay period that includes the 12th of the month. Helene made landfall in Florida on September 26th, so it did not affect the September jobs report. Milton made landfall 2 weeks later. The unemployment rate is based on a separate survey of households. Respondents who say they had jobs but were not at work because of bad weather are still counted as employed, and the same goes for workers with jobs who are on strike. Based on the household survey, the Labor Department estimated there were 512,000 people with jobs who did not work as a result of bad weather, although many of those, such as salaried workers, would still be paid and therefore still be included in the jobs tally. Over the previous 20 years, the number of people out of work because of bad weather during October averaged 69,000. The Labor Department said it was likely that the job figures in some industries were affected by the hurricanes, but that it was not possible to quantify the effect. The survey those numbers are based on is not designed to isolate effects from extreme weather events, the agency said. Further muddying the picture, of course, the share of employers that responded to the October survey was the lowest since January of 1991, raising the possibility of substantial later revisions as the Labor Department gets more data. But the agency added there was no discernible effect on the national unemployment rate. Average hourly earnings were up 4% from a year earlier, which compared with 3.9% in September. Average earnings can get boosted by storms. Lower paid workers are more likely to lose their jobs, pushing up the average. Jobs figures for August and September were revised lower. The leisure and hospitality industries shed 4,000 jobs versus an average monthly gain of 20,000 jobs for the first 9 months of the year. The construction sector added 8,000 jobs, which also compared with an average gain of 20,000 jobs over the previous 9 months. The Boeing strike began in mid-September, and the Labor Department's monthly report on strike activity released last week said that there were 33,000 Boeing workers on strike for the entire pay period that included October 12th. The recent report showed a loss of 46,000 manufacturing jobs, driven by a decline of 44,000 jobs in transportation equipment manufacturing that the Labor Department said was largely due to strike activity. To some degree, the hurricane's effects have already dissipated. Initial claims for unemployment insurance moved notably higher in early October, but last week they slipped to their lowest level in months. Meanwhile, the economy has continued to grow solidly, with the Commerce Department reporting Wednesday that gross domestic product grew at an inflation-adjusted 2.8% annual rate in the third quarter. The report also was the last major piece of economic data that Federal Reserve policy will see before they meet right after the election next week. They have signaled that they expect to lower their benchmark interest rate target range by a quarter of a point. Friday's report is unlikely to persuade them to do a larger cut, with futures markets indicating that investors overwhelmingly still expect a quarter point reduction. Looking beyond the distortions, what you are seeing is a very gradual cooling in the labor market, said Royal Bank of Canada economist Nathan Jansen. That sets the stage for the Fed to continue to dial down rates, cutting by a quarter of a point again in December. Still with the data likely to show continued volatility from the storms and the strikes, the central bank's challenge will be to tease out just how well the labor market is doing. Some job losses from Milton might not show up until the November jobs report comes out, for example, while people who go back to work after temporarily losing their jobs could push the numbers the other way. Even though the economy and the labor market appear poised to keep buttressing one another, there also are limits as to how many jobs the United States can sustainably keep adding without driving unemployment down to the point that wages will start running too hot, noted Joe Brisuelas, who is chief economist at RSM US. Immigration added to the pool of available workers for much of this year, but with the number of people entering the U.S. down sharply since the spring, that supply has been curtailed. Meanwhile, with population growth slow, more people reaching retirement age and the share of Americans aged 25 to 54 who are employed near its highest level in a quarter of a century. Finding qualified workers is no easy chore for companies today looking to hire. That all suggests to Brisuelas that the economy might only need to gain somewhere between 100,000 and 150,000 jobs each month to keep the unemployment rate steady. The following article that I'd also like to read for you is also from the November 2nd issue of the Wall Street Journal. This one is titled, older workers can now supersize their 401ks. This article was written for the journal by Ashley Erling. Under a new law, those aged 60 to 63 can make a super catch-up contribution. Older workers can put more money than ever into their 401ks starting next year under a new law meant to boost retirement savings for people in their early 60s. The maximum amount savers can put into retirement accounts is adjusted each year for inflation, along with the extra catch-up contributions available to anyone 50 and up. Starting next year, workers between ages 60 and 63 can make a super catch-up contribution of up to $11,250, the IRS said Friday. People who turn those ages sometime during the year will be able to put up to $34,750 into their workplace retirement plans. That is about 14% more than in 2024, and it marks the biggest change to 401k contribution rules in two decades. Catch-ups are meant to help older workers who didn't save enough early or save enough during their careers, often because they dipped in and out of the workforce. Even bigger savers can take advantage of the catch-ups. In Vanguard's workplace retirement saving plans during 2023, 14% of participants saved the maximum, including catch-ups. Roughly half of participants with income over $150,000 contributed the maximum, and one out of six older than 65 did so. I'll keep doing the maximum catch-up contributions I can do now, and if there's a higher number when I'm 60, I'll do that as well, if we can afford it, said Jeff Sturman, a 54-year-old bank examiner in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. The IRS makes annual inflation adjustments to the maximum amounts people can put into their retirement accounts based on formulas in the tax law. Inflation adjustments also have lifted tax brackets and estate and gift tax thresholds. Most workers will be allowed to put in up to $23,500 into their 401ks and similar workplace retirement plans in 2025, which is up $500 from this year. Workers ages 50 to 59 or 64 and older can make an additional catch-up contribution of up to $7,500, the same as last year. The change for those turning 60 to 63 is called the Super Catch-Up. Congress added it as part of a 2022 retirement law, but made it effective starting in 2025. For workers of all ages at companies that do allow special after-tax contributions, there is an even bigger total, $70,000 contribution limit for 2025, up from $69,000 this year. That limit includes the basic $23,500 employer contributions and any additional after-tax contributions. Combined with a new catch-up provision, those in their early 60s can get up to $81,250 in these plans. Nearly all employers offer catch-ups. Most will want to offer the super catch-up as well, said Carl Jacoby, who is an employee benefits leader at Milliman. That said, it takes a lot to hit the max. A 60-year-old who earns $150,000 would have to save 23% of his or her salary to max out the basic limit and to new super catch-up amount. Michael Alania, who is a 53-year-old advertising technology executive in Fairlawn, New Jersey, is contributing the maximum $23,000 this year, split 75% pre-tax and 25% Roth, and has contributed the full catch-up since turning 50. I started saving what I was able to afford that would leave me with what I needed for the month, said Elania. When you get to retirement age, that's going to be your income. Some people will retire before becoming eligible for the super catch-up. You can take money out of a 401k from a former employer at age 59 and a half without penalty. Pre-tax versus Roth. The limits are the same if you choose pre-tax or Roth savings. Pre-tax contributions reduce your taxable income, and you can pay taxes when you eventually take the money out of the account. With Roth accounts, you pay the taxes up front, and the money grows and can be withdrawn tax-free. The retirement law that created the super catch-up added another wrinkle as well. Catch-up contributions will have to be Roth for those who made more than $145,000 the previous year. That rule was supposed to go into effect in 2024, but the IRS has delayed it until 2026 now. Unlike the 401k adjustments, the contribution limit for individual retirement accounts and Roth IRAs will remain the same in 2025 at $7,000, with a $1,000 catch-up for those age 50 and older. The next article that I would like to read for you is also from the November 2nd issue of Wall Street Journal. This article was written for the journal by Callum Borchers, and the title is Bosses Tighten Up Rules on Perks. Ever used the office printer for your kid's homework assignment or scrolled Facebook Marketplace during an all-hands Zooming meeting? Fair warning here, your employer may be paying closer attention. Big companies on the hunt for efficiency are deploying perk police to bust employees for seemingly minor infractions that, by the letter of the company law, can result in termination. We have had lots of requests for new controls now, says Katie McCallop, who is U.S. Director of PayHawk, which administers company credit card accounts and watches for misuse. Clients are asking PayHawk now to restrict when and where company cards can work. For example, a company can limit a lunch allowance to be available only on weekdays from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and be usable at Chipotle but not at Kroger. In partnership with Visa and MasterCard, PayHawk is developing a feature that sends real-time spending alerts to corporate finance teams and allows them to instantly block suspicious transactions by employees. McKillop's firm does not track what happens to employees who violate company policies, but she says there is little doubt out there that employers are taking codes of conduct more seriously. That helps to explain reports of crackdowns at Meta platforms where employees were fired for spending $25 meal allowances on other items. And Ernst & Young dismissing workers who watched multiple training videos at the same time, and Target canning employees who jumped the line to buy coveted Stanley water bottles before the general public could. The companies declined to comment on the incidents. As the employer-employee power struggle tilts in companies' favor, some businesses are using strict rules enforcement to make an example of rule breakers or to reduce payroll without having a real layoff. An employer feeling buyer's remorse after a post-pandemic hiring spree can use the company handbook to push out unwanted employees, says human resources consultant Suzanne Lucas. When you are desperately hiring, you're definitely overlooking things, says Lucas, who cheekily brands herself the evil ER lady. When you need to cut headcount, you tighten up the rules. Workers argue many so-called perks are designed to increase productivity. A free meal is an enticement to stay at your desk. A recorded HR tutorial is less a reprieve from the awkwardness of in-person sexual harassment training than an invitation to keep plugging away while paying half attention to a video on your second monitor. So why gin up excuses to fire people instead of simply announcing a round of job cuts? A few reasons, Lucas says. Layoffs imply a business is struggling, and companies may want to avoid shaking the confidence of customers or investors. Employers often feel obligated or are contractually bound to offer severance packages to lay off workers. Firing people for cause can save money, she says. And then there is the effect on a company's remaining employees. Few things put workers on notice like seeing colleagues pink slipped for minor offenses. If a goal of harsh consequences is to keep people in line, then it's working on Matt Tedesco. When he read a Financial Times report that Meta fired employees who spent Grubhub meal allowances on things like acne pads and laundry detergents in a saga dubbed Grubgate, he flashed back to a similar episode at a defunct company where he used to work. He says a half dozen colleagues in sales were shown the door because they used meal stipends to buy groceries. Tedesco, at 47, describes himself as a rule follower in general and says he is doubly sure to do everything by the book in the current climate. He started this fall as a sales account executive at Hearst after being laid off by Standard & Poor Global last year. It's hard to get a job right now. It took me months, he says. From an employee standpoint, my takeaway is don't abuse any privilege because it's not worth the risk. People in a range of industries admit privately that they have broken rules like these in the past, but said that they would never cop to it publicly. One likened today's workplace to a street with a 30-mile-per-hour speed limit where you routinely get away with driving 37 miles per hour and feel blindsided when you're pulled over and ticketed. Enforcement levels fluctuate, this person said, and seem to be high right now. Cracking down is a time-honored tactic when companies feel financial pressure. In 2009, in the teeth of the Great Recession, a former private client relationship manager at Fidelity told the Fort Worth Star-Telegram that he and three colleagues lost their jobs for running fantasy football leagues at work in violation of a corporate policy against gambling. The stakes in his league, $20. Fidelity had laid off 1,700 employees earlier that year. And in 2018, when Wells Fargo announced significant headcount cuts, the bank fired or suspended more than a dozen bankers who put dinners on the company tab and doctored the receipts. The bank said at the time that it pays for meals where employees work late, but some ordered takeout before the allowed hour and changed the timestamps on the bills. Without knowing all the details, it can be hard to understand why companies police small dollars when they appear to spend very freely on pricier items, says Jennifer Dulski, who is chief executive of Rising Team, a maker of employee engagement software. She notes that Meta offices are known for vending machines stocked with headphones, keyboards, and other electronics available to employees free of charge, yet the company is getting serious about lunch money. They're either weeding out or just trying to make an example of behavior they think is inappropriate, Dulski says. Employers have good reasons to be sticklers in some cases, says Cedar Beauchamp, a forensic accountant in Culver City, California. Companies can invite tax trouble if money earmarked for perks and business expenses is being misspent on other things. The following is from a recent work friend column in the New York Times, this one from Roxane Gay. The question in this case is keeping up with Gen Z. I'm a 52-year-old marketer 3 months into a new, exciting, and entirely remote senior role. I'm by far the oldest person on my team. My younger boss and other key team members constantly Slack message me during Zoom meetings. Sometimes the Slacks are delightful comments that help me to understand a bigger picture, and sometimes they're snarky or somewhat funny comments meant to alleviate the mood. Either way, I'm incapable of reading Slacks while listening in meetings. Sometimes my boss will Slack me that this would be a good opportunity for you to chime in about X, but I'm so busy reading or responding to her and other Slacks that I've lost the context of the conversation. I often feel like I'm dropping the ball because I cannot follow along. I also think it's rude to sit there clearly typing, but I'm obviously in the minority. I also feel an expectation to respond to Slacks from my boss while I'm in a Zoom meeting with other people, given that it's obvious that other people do. Am I the only one who finds it hard to converse on Slack while following along another presentation? What can I do besides completely ignore all messages sent during meetings? I feel odd bringing it up with my younger boss as I don't want to look old and out of touch, from Anonymous. And the response is, I don't think struggling to keep up with Zoom and Slack at the same time makes you old or out of touch. It's a lot to manage. Or perhaps I'm showing my own age here. You're not alone in your struggle. It's a lot to manage when you're working across platforms simultaneously. Honestly, I would just bring it up with your boss. If people think you're out of touch, that's their misapprehension. There are worse things. If you want to figure out a better way to manage it all, try sizing the window so that you can see both simultaneously, the same way you might follow a Zoom chat during a Zoom meeting. And give yourself some more time to get accustomed to this way of working. You've been in the position for only 3 months now. Give it time. This is all we have time for on our program on careers today. I hope that you've enjoyed listening in and will enjoy the rest of your day. And thanks for listening. I'm Irene Lubin, and I am a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona.